Welcome to the Christway Connect podcast, creating pathways, connecting people to Christ, to others, to purpose. Welcome to the Christway Connect podcast. This month we are talking about worship. We are looking at the book by Richard Foster, Celebration of Discipline, and there are internal, external, and corporate disciplines. So we're happy that you can join us today to continue the conversation on the corporate discipline of worship. In-house, Arnick is with me today.
What's up?
Good morning. And we were joking a minute ago, it's going to be the rumble morning.
Yeah. Turn up your subwoofer.
So, yeah, I hope hope that comes through okay for you to hear us as we chat this morning. The last couple of weeks, we've talked about worship. We've talked about worship style, right? And when you think about worship, just a little bit of a catch-up, Arnick, just talk to us a little bit. When you think about worship, you said praise and worship or worship band or all those kinds of things hit you the wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just catch, if folks are just joining us today, why don't you give them a little catch-up on what that would mean to you. You're considered the, I think you're called the worship pastor here, right?
Right.
So.
So it kind of sounds like I'm the antithesis to what I'm supposed to be doing, yeah. For me, here's what I meant by that. And I say it all the time, and it's funny because I say it preaching, and preaching is declaring. So a lot of times I don't qualify that. If I'm teaching, I will. So here's what I mean by that. It's put a sour taste in my mouth, not in a personal sense, but just in sensitivity to what I believe is the Spirit of God, that a great deal of what we've done with worship has led towards trend. Now, regionally, and I mean that from an international perspective, there's going to be different ways and cultures of worship all over the world. So I'm not trying to in any way denigrate America for having a culture of worship or people that are used to any type of charismatic or Pentecostal, not in a religious sense, just the experience, those experiences. Here's where I think the fork in the road has happened for me, is because I feel that many times when we're qualifying worship by worship team, praise team, and all these things, it tends to isolate the audience. And I really believe that. I'm not just saying that. I think the trend of...
So the idea that there's an actual praise team,
right?
Then they're doing that job.
They're the praisers. Here's
the audience,
the worshipers.
Gets to watch. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And what do we say around here?
Yeah.
There's one in the audience,
yeah. Right?
And that being the Lord, everybody, the crowd...
Absolutely.
...is the performer.
Yeah.
The folks on the platform are the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I was in a rehearsal just this past Thursday. And one thing that Hayden and Sharon and I were talking about in rehearsal, those are people on the worship team. Here I go.
Team. Well, that's our language.
Let's
yeah,
just right? consider it a misnomer now. It's like calling lemon.
The coaches, lemon. The worship coaches.
There you go. The worship coaches.
The defensive coach, the
yeah.
special teams coach.
But we're having this conversation, and we were talking about the second song. So a great deal of what we do kind of goes like this. We'll sing a song to open up a service just to help people shake off the day, and that's okay. I was talking to them, and we all agreed that by that second song, what we want to do intentionally is learn to start shifting the focus towards audience being the worshiper. So one thing that we've started doing in the last few weeks is that second song is always an opportunity to invite them to sing. And I don't want to give away all the card tricks,
but, all the secrets, yeah.
but part of the psychology of that is back off. You know, if you have this opening song that has energy, you have to give an opportunity to set a tone just like you would set the tone for energy in a worship service. You have to set a tone that the people are going to be participants. Now, getting back to the original question, where I think that we lose focus on that is I think sometimes our preparation and our desire to be excellent or good or to be good stewards of our gift sometimes takes the focus off that thing of making sure that the audience, it's not just a participant, but they fill the space. And I think that worship teams overwhelm.
They feel the space or fill the space?
Or both. It's really both, that they feel margin to be a part of it. Because one thing I've learned, my wife, I should say, has learned this, obviously, that if she'll do it, the kids won't. So if she doesn't leave space
for
them.
I think that's an excellent point, and it's subtle and then not so subtle.
Yeah.
Right? So we have the church has become that, right? They're welcome teams and, for example, hospitality teams. I get it.
Right.
But the idea would be if you're the greeter, then I don't have to be the greeter because you're the greeter, right? So I don't have to do that. Which is not the culture that we want here and probably not the culture anybody actually wants.
And it's not the culture at Christway because I told you from the beginning when I first came to Christway 3 years ago, it's hard to believe it's been that long.
But
when I first came to Christway, what impressed myself and Cherie when we walked through the door is I got greeted at the door. I got greeted at the second door. And then when I came into the auditorium, I mean, I just was washed over with people coming up and speaking, and I think that's essential. You can't.
And I would say too, this is a comment for another comment, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just a hi passing, good morning, how are you passing?
Right.
They're engagements.
Right.
Being greeted here is an engagement, and someone might just actually talk to you. I heard recently a guy that's probably been coming here about 2 months, 3 months. He told me a friend of his who attended. And again, that friend wasn't even here that long. He said, just get ready to get hugged by people you don't know.
Yeah. Truly loved. And when somebody says, the funniest thing happened to me, I think it was either Peggy or it was Jenny. I think it was Jenny. So she said, how are you the second week I was here? And I said, I'm doing well. And she stood there in silence. She was waiting for me to answer the question,
still more.
She wasn't just asking me. So, relating that to worship, so goes worship.
The engagement piece, right?
Yeah.
Not just the rote mechanics of it, right? Nobody wants that. We don't want that. People don't want that.
But
maybe they think that's their slot, right? The rote mechanics of sing, sit, stand, kneel, whatever. And you don't want that. And then also the idea that if you have a greeter team, then I don't have to be a greeter.
Right.
And if you have a worship team, I don't have to be a worshiper.
Right. Right.
And if you have a hospitality team, if you have prayer teams, well, then you don't need me.
Right.
Except those folks just guiding, coaching. Here's what we say here. Creating pathways.
Mm-hmm.
Connecting people. Right?
Right.
So creating these pathways through worship, through the coaching. So I was joking a little bit ago when I said, the linebacker coach and the special teams coach, and then you picked up the comment and started talking, and in my mind I'm thinking, the altos coach, the tenors coach, the right, the whatever, they can be those things, right?
Yeah.
And inviting people into corporate worship.
Right. Corporate recognition.
When I did the intro today and I overviewed Richard Foster and the book and all that, identifying there are internal disciplines, personal, external disciplines, personal, and then corporate disciplines. And worship is a corporate discipline. So I also think that and we were watching that Chris Hodges Week 10 video, right? So you saw that. And he talks about the Word of God, not as your little devotional map and kumbaya and sing and your cup of coffee and all that. He mocked it a little bit, actually. And it's not just that, but this sword, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these things aren't just moments of chirpy, right? But dialing into something deep for all of us.
Absolutely.
Right? Not just this personal thing where worship is just personal.
Right.
And I've got my own personal worship, which is fine. Just as a devotional Bible study is fine.
Right.
But there's this corporate component that cannot be lost. And if it's a worship team And I've gone so far as to say, if the house is dark and the stage is light,
yeah,
and the sound and the volume are so high that you can't hear yourself sing in the crowd,
right,
then you might want to consider the message, subtle or not so subtle, mm-hmm. that's being presented. What's the priority of the moment? Mm-hmm. And who's actually doing the work, right?
Right.
So we're going to do this work, and if you'd like to join us, join us.
There you go.
That is not what that's supposed to be.
And that's what I'm punch drunk off of, yeah.
Yeah, that's not what this is supposed to be. This is, we are worshiping. And we right. talk about that here where it's difficult to do, but that's the challenge. And you try to get the music just under the voices.
Right.
So that there is a connection of community. A good friend of mine, a guy that's a disciple. He is a disciple of Jesus, man. Mm-hmm. We were having this conversation one time. And he said, this guy, let me just give context. I told this guy one time, I said, if you have anything you ever want to say during one of my sermons, raise your hand. I'll hand you the microphone. Mm. As soon as you do it, right then. So that's the confidence I have in this guy. Right. Okay. So he was talking about, man, I just like to kind of when the lights are low and I can just kind of be in my own space and sing in my own personal thing. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. Except that's not what this is about, right? I want the lights on in the room. I want the window shades up, right? I want sunlight in. I want to sing. I want you to be able to look across the room and see someone. And I want them to be able to see you. And I want that to be this motivation, this feedback loop of we are worshiping as a body.
Right, right. And I have no problem with a gospel or a Christian concert. Let me be frank about that. I've studied and played for and been around and wrote for gospel singers and Christian CCM
sure.
singers. But let that be what it is. If it's a concert, then I'll pay my ticket price and I'll go to it. Don't call it a worship experience. Because, and honestly, I tell you this, I was very rejected when I first started leading worship in the culture that I came up in, because it was different. Because I did condense, at the time that I started leading praise and worship, it was around 2008. And at that time, the whole praise team, Israel, New Breed, all those things had taken off so heavily. So I'm showing up to these, and yes, I'm doing quotations for those listening, worship conferences. And a lot of times I'm going on stage with a drummer, myself, and two people. And people are looking at me like, why did you guys invite him? Because you have all these 10-piece bands and yes, stuff. Sure. And again, I'm not knocking a concert, but if you call it a worship experience, my job is in the first 5 minutes, hopefully, to get people to feel like they have a space that they can be in and just worship. Now, am I gonna have fun? Of course I am, sometimes. As a matter of fact, allegedly there's a video out of me doing the electric slide.
Allegedly. But, allegedly affirmed by your co-host.
There man. You go. But I think that for me is the focus and the goal. I love what you say about the lights, because isn't it funny how the stage hot, music above the people
yeah.
has become the default.
Yeah.
That's like the default. Okay, we've got to get these lights up. We've yeah. got to get this music loud. Subwoofers have to be blasting. And it's really taking the focus off what you're there to do as the team,
yeah.
which is to, that team should be increased.
Well, there's a definite, yeah. There's a definite energy, right? And you go to those places, and I remember going to the field house a few times and hearing different singers, and oh my goodness, it's so good. Mm-hmm. It's uplifting. It's filling. It's mm-hmm. exciting. You're in a room of several thousand people, and it's fun, and you're praising God, man.
Yeah.
It's good. Not knocking it. I think our gift, maybe our gift to people today, to ourselves, would be just check yourself, right?
Yeah.
Just check yourself, bro, right?
Yeah.
just like look at what do you want and then how's it actually tracking,
right?
And maybe that is what you want. I've sat with people before. I sat with a guy one time and I said, he asked me to come help him
mm-hmm.
and do some church consulting. And we were there quite a while. And then I said one day, I said, hey, man, I think you could go further. And he said, well, I heard you thought we could be more spiritual. I do. Mm-hmm. So you don't think we're spiritual. That's not what I said.
Yeah.
What I said is, I think you can be more spiritual. Like there is a path. For example, I used a coach, like a fitness coach. I lost 20 pounds. And he's like, hey, man, you lost 20 pounds. I'm like, yeah, awesome. Thanks a bunch. He goes, now you're right on track to lose five more, and then your health will be optimum. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm good at losing 20, right? No problem, right? No big deal. But I think it's valuable for us to check and say, okay, here's where we want to go. Mm-hmm. How's it actually tracking?
Right.
And could it be something where we've all kind of gathered in and just haven't really thought, it's kind of become something else.
Right.
Right. So to have the energy and the volume, let's just say volume over singing. That's exciting, man. The bass just boom, boom.
Love
in your chest. Wonderful,
I love it.
Right?
Yeah.
But you're not going to hear the guy across the aisle singing.
Right.
And so there are trade-offs, and that's really one of the beautiful parts of church community.
Right.
Body of Christ, even in a region, right? You can go, I was told there are over 200 churches in Terre Haute. Now, some of those may be 1,000 people or 10 people. I don't know.
Right.
Whatever. If they're off,
yeah,
there's still 150
number.
Churches,
yeah.
You know? So
yeah.
There are options to be able to connect. The idea would be, are we inviting people into a worship space?
Yes.
Are we helping facilitate a worship space? Are we putting the singers and the, I'm thinking David, King David, the singers and the tambourines and the dancers and the cornets and those, are we putting those out front?
Right.
And letting it fill and grow and be, and like that's.
Yeah. I think that's the space that everyone that is tapped into this time in this season where we're coming off of, and you and I have talked about this, we're coming off of a time where people could not worship in the presence of other people.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was one that with Recharge, I did a lot of videos and did a lot of things and tried to put things out. I mean, maybe I should be the first to say it. It just isn't the same. That's not really corporation. It's an invitation to space, and we'll take it. We'll take it when there's nothing else available. There's got to be something in our view of worship where the value of other people being around us, we have to see that from God's perspective. Who is the audience? And I think that that's what I'm learning to value more than anything, is what, and here's how I would say it, the intimacy piece, what each specific person in the audience brings to that moment is precious. It is, and if it's just the Arnick show, if it's just the Arnick show, then we're losing something in that space. There's something else that I thought about when you were speaking, and it's a word that in counseling that one of my counselors is helping me with right now. He said, Arnick, you're obsequious. He said, you're an overtly servile, obedient person. You default to that to avoid confrontation, or you're funny. He said, but I wanted to tell you something, and I'm sitting there like, wow, I am being read. You're not unctuous. And I'm like, what is the difference? Because most times they say those two things are synonymous. He said, you're not doing it to ingratiate yourself to the person. You're not for lack of a much better term, a brown noser. He said, you're doing it to avoid confrontation. And I thought about that. And so unctuous is the word on my mind today. That's probably.
Please raise your hand if unctuous was the word on your mind. Right.
Unctuousness. When a person is taught to ingratiate themselves to something by praise, that hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm a preacher, so I'm sitting there getting counsel, but I'm also saying, how can I use this to help other people? And let me say this. We have to stop teaching people to be unctuous in worship. We're not trying to get in with God. He's already got us in. We're worshiping him out of a real recognition of his worth. And I think that that's what the whole praise team piece has done. Okay, we're going to do it because we're worshipers. Now, what we're going to tell you guys, and there's this guy that told me one time when I first came to his church, do not say this, don't say that. And one thing he did teach me, you might know the guy.
Yeah.
Stop giving people all these speeches and reasons, because a lot of what we're going to say in that space is going to teach them something wrong. People should not worship God to get in good with him. You're in good with him.
Yeah.
You should worship him.
Yeah. It's done because.
Yeah.
You're in favor with God. Not to earn it. It's because you have it.
Yeah. My father once told me, never tell a woman why you love her. Because if you tell her why, she can dispute those reasons.
All right. Well, that'll be next month's episodes. Those four. We'll have your dad around the mic for those four.
Just tell her just for who you are.
So yeah. I think when we realize that the Lord is the Lord, right? And we come into this place and it is corporate and we're singing. Now, there are some interesting things I thought about with respect to worship. I have a friend out east and he's Episcopalian, and I worked in an Episcopal church for years. Guitar, piano, worship, you know, led that. I actually launched a church plant with a couple of Episcopal priests out in Maryland. And so in that culture of worship, right, this guy, he loved walking in, and there was a pipe organ, the classic pipe organ, and they ripped it, man. I mean, it was full. This little tiny, almost, it was a little bigger than a chapel. Mm-hmm. It was a good-sized church, but it felt chapel-esque, you know? Yeah. And then this pipe organ just echoing off the walls, right? And this guy, he said he loved coming to church. And here's what he said. I love singing songs that are 400 years old.
Yeah.
That's what he said. I love the anchoring of it, the grounding of it, the foundation of it. And I thought that was profound, because I would look at that and go, you're killing me with the handle stuff, right? Yeah. Like, you're killing me with that. I love it. It helped him feel connected with God. In that same Episcopal culture and other churches that run liturgy out of a book, not just, we all have our liturgy, right? Mm-hmm. But out of a liturgical book of whatever. And you know what, I could look on like April 16th, 2023, and I know what the reading is going to be, right? That kind of thing. Yeah. They loved the fact that all the Episcopal churches around the globe were having that as the New Testament reading. They were having that as the psalm that day. Now, the homilies or the sermons were different, but the music and the form, like, it was, the prayers were the same. The prayers were the same.
Wow.
So you got to think about it. Now, that, you and I both have Pentecostal heritage, right? We identify that.
Absolutely.
So for us, it was like the win was spontaneous. Right. The win was, I've been studying 25 hours this week on the sermon, I'm setting it aside, and here we go, you know, right? That was the deal, right?
Chaos.
Yeah, or you're singing a song, and then you just bust out something, right?
Right.
That spontaneity was what was celebrated, and as a result of getting celebrated, that's often, you get what's celebrated, right?
Yeah.
So it was just such a shift for me to realize and be informed, honestly. Be informed of the power, because I got to thinking about that. Every Episcopal church, Africa, Europe, Oklahoma City, like around the globe, everyone today is praying this prayer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Something to it.
Whoa, there is something to that.
There's something to that.
There is something to that. And again, not to disparage or marginalize spontaneous moments, but it was a revelation to me. The power of simply hitting these things over and over. And I think that's true in Judaism. That comes to my mind right now. I was just reading through a book the other day, Eugene Peterson, not The Message. The book was called A Long Obedience. And the idea is a long obedience in the same direction. And it's the Psalms or the songs of ascent. And so it's like 120 to 131 or something like that, right? There are 10 or 12 of them in a row. And I was reading through Psalm 125, and they would sing these as they traveled. Bro, and everyone would just be singing these as they traveled. And the prayers that they pray, and the those of the Jewish tradition that would put their feet on the floor in the morning and reach for their prayer book. And really the Psalms were a compilation of prayers utilized in the captivity, right? That was compiled for the Babylonian captivity.
Right.
So they're reading these over and over and singing them over and over. And I enjoy a new, fresh song as much as anybody else.
Yeah.
But I think it's beautiful to consider the power of it. Now, can it get stale? As anything.
Yes.
It can get stale.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of our corporate experience.
Yeah.
Where absolutely. We realize it doesn't have to be stale.
Right.
Doesn't have to be stale. So the idea of doing all that same 400 years old, I hope today that we're able to, I don't know, bust out a window, right, in somebody's thinking, or open a door or something like that. And even for the folks here in this faith community, the ones that we both represent, right, and serve, that they can see, okay, that's what I'd like. I want my worship to be a sweet savor, acceptable to God, right?
Yes.
And is that where we're tracking? And for those that are leading. But here's the deal. We're all leading.
Right. Right. Right.
In that place, we're all leading in worship.
That's right. Yeah. And worship can be musical, but it's not music. There's something that God feels in that. But when you pray to God with a sincere heart, when you're a person that comes and volunteers to read scripture that week, or when you go up to someone, what worship is doing it as unto the Lord.
Yeah.
And so I just want to throw that in there. I think sometimes musicians and singers feel like they have an exclusivity to that.
Well, why don't you just close us out today? Pray over that whole space, sir. What you're feeling, and it's been a pleasure having this conversation.
Absolutely. God, we just thank you. We thank you for an opportunity to come before you, and that you make us worthy to worship you, that you're both the provider and the recipient, that you give us the space, oh God, and the character that we can feel comfortable worshiping. Teach us, help us to become more aware of your presence. Teach us to worship you, not just as we sing songs to you and tell you of your worth, but let us worship with our life and our love toward one another. Let it be expressed clearly. And as the Psalms say, Lord, we'll sing unto the Lord as long as we live, while we have our being. We'll raise glory to you and honor to you. We just thank you for this moment, and we're asking that you create that space for everyone. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Let it be so, right? Yeah. And this is the first time you and I have gotten to do this, just me and you around the mic. So that was a lot of fun.
It's fun.
Thanks for being here today. Thanks to everyone for joining us on the Christway Connect podcast. We have one more episode on worship before we wrap up that part of our series. Hope you can join us then. Until that time, take care.